Well, greetings this morning in the precious name of Jesus. It has been a tremendous privilege being here already with you all this morning. We've heard some beautiful truths and just been very edified and very blessed with the opening and the children's lesson. The children's lesson, I think of, it's not just the children, it was for me as well. There's still a lot of work that the Lord wants to do in my own heart and life. And trusting the Lord with the opening, I very much appreciated what was shared already. So this morning, the burden that has been on my heart is a message that I shared at home a while back on faith. And it's more of a teaching this morning. I'm not a natural teacher, so please bear with me. If you get something from it, it'll be from the Lord, because that is not my strong gift, teaching. But faith, tells us in Hebrews that without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I had to think of the message yesterday about love, about charity, and how much more important that charity is than faith. But yet, if we don't have faith, it's still impossible to please God. So yeah, if we could, I would like for us to rise and we'll have a word of prayer. I sense my need this morning. Our dear Father in heaven, as we bow here in your presence, we do thank you for the privilege that we have of gathering with your people, the church, the ones that you came to save, the ones that you are going to take with you back to glory. Lord, we are here and we're in need of hearing from you this morning. And Lord, unless your presence is here and unless your spirit is here, these thoughts that I have wrote down, the words that we read, will be no avail. They're empty. But Lord, when you are here and your spirit is here working in our lives, they are full of life and they're full of truth and they can transform us. And that is the desire of our hearts this morning, that you would implant something in our hearts, Lord, that would help us in eternity. Father, we bless you this morning and we trust you, Father, to bring forth your word in power and might, Lord. Have your way in our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. So this morning, as we think of faith, it's probably one of the reasons that it's a burden on my heart is how do we describe faith? If I was to ask you to give me a definition of faith, I'm sure that as I would ask numerous of you, there would be different answers, not saying there'd be a wrong answer, but different ways of explaining it. And so this morning I just desire to open God's Word and allow God's Word to give us the definition of faith. As we share the gospel with people, it's one of the things that we hear a lot is, well, I have faith, I believe. What do we have faith in? Is it enough to have faith? I'm asking questions, and we want to continue to look in God's Word here and find answers to some of those questions. Do you and I know if we have faith? Can faith be seen? Can faith grow? So for some groundwork before we get into the message, I'd like to turn to Galatians chapter 5 and read from verse 16 to the end of the chapter. Familiar scripture. It tells us in verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, And ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that ye cannot do the things that ye would. But if ye be led of the spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are these. The works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of which I tell you before, as I have told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. So we see in the beginning here that there's a war going on between the flesh and the spirit. There's a war going on, and it's something that happens continuously between the flesh and the spirit. And we see here the works of flesh, the things that, if we're walking in the flesh, these are things that you will see in a person's life. And then you see it in the spirit. It says, but the fruit of the spirit is this. And if a man is walking in the spirit, these are also the things, the works are the things that you will see in his life. In verse 21, as we think, as just a little note here, in verse 21, if we're doing the works of the flesh, at the very end it tells us that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. That's very sobering. But it tells us in verse 16 that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. It's a promise that you cannot be doing both. So we have here a list of things, of works or of evidences, or I don't know what other word you could use, of someone walking in the flesh or someone walking in the spirit. Verse 22 and verse 23 gives us the fruit of the spirit, and it doesn't say fruits of the spirit, but it says the fruit of the spirit. So we're only looking at one part of the fruit this morning, and that is faith. It's an evidence of someone, if someone is walking in the Spirit, it'll be an evident thing that you'll see in their life. It might not be a great, you might not have a lot of faith, but it'll be evident in his life that they have faith. So we want to look at one part of this faith today, one part of this fruit today, which is faith. It's part of the ingredient. It's an ingredient that all of God's children will have. It's something that is visible. Like I said before, without faith, the Bible tells us it's impossible to please God. And the Strong's, it tells us faith, the meaning for faith is faithfulness, belief, trust, with an implication that actions based on that trust may follow. So it's not just something that it's something that you have, and yet it's something that it'll be evident in the things that you do. It'll be evident if you have faith or not. Amen. So here's a question, another question. Is faith a verb or is faith a noun? It's always a noun. It's a fruit. It's either something that you have, or then it's something that you don't have. You cannot do faith. And yet, faith will always, you will always be able to see if someone has faith or not by the things they do. So, faith is always a noun in the Word of God. Faith is either something we have or then we don't have. You can't do faith, and yet faith will always have an action. James 2. Let's turn to James 2 for the main scripture here today, starting in verse 14. And we'll be a little bit everywhere, but this will be the main, where we'll get most out of it, or take most of it from. James chapter 2, verse 14. And it starts with, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead being alone. Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, and thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But wilt thou, O man," I'm sorry, my reading is not good this morning. "But wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead? Was not Abraham our father justified by works, when he offered Isaac his son upon the altar? Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works his faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and sent them out another way. For as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." So in the first part here, in the first verse that we read, in the end it asks a very important question. Though a man may say he hath faith and not works, can faith save him? Can faith save a man that says he has no work, or that he doesn't have works? Is that good enough? And then he goes on through the rest of the chapter and explains to us how that does not work in different ways. If the actions of my life are contrary to God's word, by me just opening my mouth and telling you how great a faith I have, or I stand before the judgment seat and I tell God how great faith I had, is that good enough? It's not good enough. Now, it is also just as fatal if I try to earn my salvation by works. It is just as fatal that way. All my good deeds are of no value unless I have faith. Faith without works is dead. So what is faith? So I want to continue, as we continue to look in God's Word, we want to allow Scripture to interpret itself of what faith is. Verse 15 and 16 gives us an example. If a brother or sister be naked or destitute of daily food, in other words, if I have a brother here that he doesn't have food and he doesn't have clothes, or he doesn't have one or the other, and I just tell him, brother, you know, God bless you, go home, I'll pray for you, and hopefully that you'll survive and you'll be okay, right? Is that faith, according to what we read here? Verse 16 would tell us, I just read part of it, "And one of you say unto them, Depart in peace, be warmed and filled, and notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit?" So in my closet at home, I have clothes, and I have food in my pantry, and I have a brother in need, and he's telling me about it, and I tell him to, you know, go home, God bless you, be filled and warmed. Is that faith? The Bible tells us it's not faith. If I have within my means to help that brother, that is not faith. It asks a question in verse 16, at the end of verse 16, what doth it profit? And then in 17 he answers it. Even so, if it hath not works, is dead, yet being alone. So it is, I can tell you of how great a faith I have, and yet if my actions are not showing, my actions do not line up with my words, it tells you what kind of faith I have. Another, in verse 18, it says, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. So me and my wife have been married for a number of years, and if she has faith and I have works, that should go fairly good together, right? We know it doesn't work that way. We all need faith, and true faith, if we have true faith, there will be something that is evident, that the work there, I think you could say it's the fruit of what you claim that faith is in your life. There'll be a fruit. It's an evident thing. We know that we need faith and works together. Verse 19, it tells us, thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. So the first part, it tells us that it is good to believe that there's only one God. And secondly, it tells us that the devils believe that as well, and they tremble. And it could almost be confusing why would I believe the same thing that the devils believe? But I believe that it'll make more sense as we continue on. Believe is not faith. Believe is not faith. But it is only two numbers off in the Strong's from faith. Believe is the verb form of the word faith. It's the action. So the devils believe too. There's an action. The devil goes around as a roaring lion, devouring those that he can. There's an evident thing that is happening in his life. There's an evident thing that is taking place because of something that he believes. His belief is causing him to do that. He knows where he will go. He knows where he will spend eternity. He knows that there's a fate that is waiting him. And so therefore, he's going around as a roaring lion, trying to devour as many as he can. You can believe something and not have faith, but you can't have faith without believing. Believing is the word, is the verb form of faith. It's an action. And we see all three in verses 21 to 23. And we'll take a little time to go through that. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? The works there showing that he took Isaac when he placed Isaac upon the altar. Seest thou how faith wrought with his works, and by works was faith made perfect. And the scripture was fulfilled which saith, Abraham believed God. In other words, there was the works, and there was faith that God promised, and the action in between there was what he believed about God. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Let's turn to Genesis 22 and just read that scripture, because we're going to be using Abraham as our main character today, as I think he's one of the main characters that Scripture uses when it tries to define faith. Genesis chapter 22, we'll read the first 18 verses. And there's a few things I want to point out in this scripture of the faith that Abraham had. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. And he said, Take thou thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah. Offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass, and took two of his young men with him, and Isaac his son, and clave the wood for the burnt offering, and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide ye here with the ass, and I and my lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood, the burnt offering, and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father, and said, My father. And he said, Here am I, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering. So they went both of them together. And they came to the place which God had told him of. Abraham built an altar there, laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thine hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, offered him up, and a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. So we see here that God told Abraham to go and offer up Isaac, and Abraham went. Abraham went. And it was his love for the Lord that caused him to go. And it was his promise that God had long time ago promised Abraham that he would multiply his seed through his son Isaac. And that was the promise that Abraham was thinking of as he went. And I just had to think in my own self, how long would it have been? You know, Abraham, he was 75 years old when God first came to him. He was 75 years old and he said, You're going to have a son. And it went 25 years before this actually happened. How long would it have taken me to think that, you know, I probably didn't hear from God? 1 month, half a year, 5 years, 10 years? How long would it have taken that I'm thinking that, you know, I must have not heard from God? And we'll consider more of that a little later, but Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. And as he had that promise in his heart, in verse 5, it tells us he left the young men there with the ass, and then he said, I and the lad will go yonder and worship. And the next 5 words, it tells us, and come again to you. I don't know what what Abraham thought was going to happen, but somehow he had a confidence that God was going to allow them to both come back, because he promised that in Isaac his seed would be as the stars of the sea, the stars of heaven. In verse 8 again, and Abraham said, "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." So they went both of them together. And I'm not sure where that ram was that was caught in the thicket when they got there, but somehow they didn't see it until after Abraham had actually raised his sword. Amazing. Somehow Abraham knew that God was going to provide himself a lamb. And then the last thing is what God said, what the angel said there in verse 18, "And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast observed my voice." And it'll be the same with us. If we observe the voice of the Lord, if our faith is in Christ, it will bless many people. It will bless many people. So I'm going to turn back to James again. Faith was that thing that Abraham had that caused him to move into action. Faith in what? It was a faith in God. And like I said, as we share the gospel, many times people say, "I have faith," or "I believe." What do they have faith in? I mean, they know there's a God. They know that there's Christ. But what is their, what are they, is their faith in their faith? Their faith is obviously not in God, because there's no works that show that there's faith. Faith. Abraham's faith was not in his faith. Abraham's faith was in God. It was not just a belief in God. It was faith. There was real faith. And I believe when we get born again, that God places faith in our hearts. Are we... When we've put our trust in the Lord, there's faith that comes in our heart. So anyone who is born again, I don't think there's, it's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. And if the Spirit of God is in us, it'll be, there has to be faith there. So we can't say if we're born again, I don't have faith. Because it's part of the thing that God places within our hearts when we get born again. It might be very tiny. It might have just turned from that blossom into that little bitty apple. But it is fruit. It is a little bitty apple. It might not be big, but it is there. And so if we are born again, there should be that evident of faith in our life. As tiny as it might be. For instance, you and I can know that Jesus forgives our sin. Talking to those that might not have surrendered their lives. We know that Jesus forgives sins. But do you believe that God can forgive your sin? Do you believe that God can forgive your sin? There's a difference there. I can believe that God can forgive your sins, but can He forgive me? It's not just good enough to know that God can do it for you. It has to be for me. We have to make this a personal thing. The devils also believe and tremble. So it's something that we... If I just believe that God can do it for you, that's not good enough. The devils also believe that, and they tremble. It's something that I have to have faith in for myself. How did Abraham know that there was a God? He didn't have scripture. He didn't have what we have today. How did he know there was a God? How did Abraham know that that it was God that told him to offer up Isaac, his son? I mean, if one of you would tell me that God told me to go offer up my son, I would really doubt that you heard from God. But somehow Abraham knew God. And he had a tremendous confidence, a tremendous trust, a faith in God that was unshakable. And we'll read about that a little later. So how do you and I know that there is a God? How do we know that if we're hearing from God or not? The one thing is, it will never contradict Scripture. If God tells us something, it will never contradict His Word. So that is a tremendous blessing that we have in our day. We have to be attached to the vine. We have to be attached to Jesus Christ. We have to be abiding in Him, and that there has to be a communication that is flowing back and forth in our lives. And then we will know when God speaks to us. We can have a confidence and a trust, a security. In Romans 4, starting in verse 19, gives us another little picture of Abraham here. Tells us, and being not weak in faith, he considered not his own body, now dead, when he was about 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. He staggered not at the promises of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And therefore it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus, our Lord, from the dead, who is delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Now he's giving a different picture there in Romans, but he's trying to bring something else out here. But we want to use Abraham here and some of the things that are said. It says he staggered not. He staggered not. There was no doubt at all in Abraham's mind when he went up that mountain. There was no doubt in his mind at all. He was fully persuaded, it tells us in verse 21, that what God had promised, he was also able to do. That is what faith is. That is what faith is having a confidence that what God has promised, he is able to do. Even though there is zero evidence of it being so in our life. There's no evidence of it at all. And yet we have faith that this is the way it is. It says he staggered not. All those years, 25 years before his son was born, for 25 years, and he says he staggered not. An unshakable faith in God. What a testimony. Where was his faith? At the end of verse 21, it tells us where his faith was. It was what he had promised, what God had promised, he was able also to perform. And this book is full of promises. It's full of promises. Do we believe them? Do we have faith that God is going to do what he has promised that he will do? Faith. Faith is taking God at his word, fully persuaded, having no hint of doubt. He staggered not. And because of that, today, he is called or known as the father of faith. In Hebrews 11, verses 17 to 19, it says this about Abraham. By faith, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises, offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said, that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, according that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, from whence also he received him in like figure. Some of the things I want to point out here is the word offered. It's got an ED at the end, which means it has already happened. So in Abraham's mind, his son had already been offered up. It was already something that was done. He was already slain. He was already, it was a done deal when he went up that mountain. But somehow, he also believed that God would bring him back to life. And he had received the promises offered, again, up his only begotten son, as it had already been done. Of whom it was said, that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. That little phrase there, that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. I don't know if that thing was ringing in his mind as he was going up that mountain. In Isaac thy seed shall be called. You need to go up offer up Isaac, thine only begotten son. And yet God promised that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. So somehow he had faith that God was going to bring him back to life. Verse 19, it tells us that accounting that God was able to raise him up, even from the dead, whence also he received him in like figure. So Scripture tells us that he was already gone. He was already dead. So another picture there of Abraham and his faith. And I don't know if I'm making sense this morning or not, as I tried to explain faith, but if we could, could we rise to our feet and sing 627? That song basically tells us what I'm trying to tell or try to share with you this morning. I hope you know it.
Oh.
thank you. You can be seated. And that is the title that I would like to give the message this morning is Faith is a Living Power from Heaven, which grasps the promise that God has given, securely fixed by Christ alone, a trust cannot be overthrown. Faith finds in Christ whatever we need to save, strengthen, guide, and feed. Strong in the grace, it joys to share his cross and hope, his crown to wear. And the last verse it says, such faith in us, O God, implant, and to our prayers thy favor grant. In Jesus Christ, thy saving Son, who is the fount of health alone. So, to me that song said it about as well as all the time that I've spent here trying to say what that one hymn wrote. So we looked at works and we looked at faith. Abraham had the works. The works was going up that mountain and laying Isaac upon the son. And his faith was in that promise that God had said that in Isaac thy seed shall be called. Now belief, here we have hope, or here we have faith, and here we have the works, but believing is what connects the two. The believing was that action that took place between the two of them. It's that verb form of what he did is how I see faith, or how I see believing. Faith is in Christ, that in God, that unshakable thing that it cannot move. It's he staggered not at the things that God said. It was more sure than the ground he walked on, and it is for us today too in God's word. And works, we've seen the works, and we've seen believing. The believing was the thing that connected the two together. And it is the same with us. Believing is the thing in a Christian's life that is connected, that connects faith and works. True faith will work itself out. Abraham went up the mountain. His faith in God never wavered. He staggered not. His confidence in God, God's word or promise, caused him to believe that what he was doing was right. The devils also believe, it tells us. And I shared a little bit about that. The devils also believe. And he knows his fate. Because he knows his fate, he wants to take as many people as he can with him. And so therefore, his believing, his action is to try to get as many of us as he can to go along with him. So the devils also believe. But we don't have to be afraid of that. God has promised, as Brother Joshua shared this morning, that we have someone who cares for us. So as you see my actions, my works, what I do, what I say, what I listen to, the places I go, the things I look at, the things I watch, and the list can go on and on. By them things, you know if I have faith or not. By these, you know what kind of faith I have. By that, you know what I believe about God. And the same is true for all of us. We can all see and tell what you believe about God by your actions. The interesting thing is, the person that is the easiest to fool is myself. I can convince myself of that action don't matter, or this don't have quite the consequences. I can see it in your life that it does, but for me, somehow I don't believe it quite in the same way. I'm the person that is most easily fooled in this whole thing. So today as we listen at what faith is, how are we feeling? Like we have lots of faith, we have little faith. Let's turn to Matthew 17, verse 20, and let's hear the words of Jesus. And this was right after the disciples tried to cast out a devil, and they could not. In verse 20 of chapter 17 of Matthew, Jesus tells his disciples, and Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if ye have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove. Nothing shall be impossible unto you. And as we heard yesterday, mustard seed is a very small seed. It is very small. And Jesus, in this verse, is not condemning anyone for having this faith as the grain of a mustard seed. He's saying if you would, you'd be able to tell this mountain to be moved and it would be able to move. So he does not condemn a little faith. So if we find ourselves this morning and our faith seems very small or very weak, I just want to encourage you. God is not displeased with that. He wants to help that thing to grow. He wants your faith to grow. And there's only one way that it can grow, and we'll look at that a little bit later. We limit God so much on what we would like to do in our, what He would like to do in our lives. And one of the reasons is we take things in our own hands and we do whatever. Our faith might be small, but learn to exercise your faith. Pray for something that is out of your control and watch something that you know that pleases God. And you pray about it and watch how God answers that prayer. And then find something else and do it again and allow God to raise up faith in our hearts. Hebrews 11, as we said earlier, it says, without faith it is impossible to please God. Do we want to please God? I know we all do. Luke 17, a little different account about Jesus. Luke 17, verse 5 and 6. It says, the apostles said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And the Lord said, if ye have faith as the grain of a mustard seed, ye might say to the sycamine tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. So here we have another illustration that if your faith is as small as a mustard seed, great things can take place. And the disciples are asking Jesus, increase our faith. Increase our faith. It's a good thing if we want God to increase our faith. Be encouraged. Our faith can grow. I also want to say that when we pray for our faith to be increased, as we'll read here in James 1 in a little bit, there's one way that God helps that faith to grow, and that is by trying our faith. So as we have faith and we pray that God would help us increase that faith, God will try it. And many times when God tries it, we think, well, I must have done something wrong. No, that's how God strengthens, that's how God increases our faith. If I have food at my table at all the time, I'm not worried about food, right? I don't really have to have faith that there's food at the table because the pantry's full and the refrigerator's full. It really don't take much faith. But when the refrigerator is empty and the pantry is empty, do I believe that God can provide for me then? I had to think. I've heard numerous of you say something about outreach. We know that God can provide for whatever brother that goes, right? He can provide for whatever brother that is called to go. We know that God will provide for him, right? But if that brother is me, can he provide for me? We know that God can provide for Brother Levi. We know that. But can he provide for me? That is the thing that we need to grasp a hold of. We need to make that promise for ourselves. It's not just good enough to believe that he can do it for my brother. We have to believe that he can do it for me. James 1, the first 6 verses. I know I'm jumping around a little bit, but I hope it will help us to grab a hold of faith. It says, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall in diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that ye may be perfect, entire, and wanting nothing. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that God giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. Now does that sound exciting for my faith to grow as God tries it? It says, count it all joy. Count it all joy. But it's not so joyous at times when we walk through it. It is through trials that our faith is increased. And in verse 6, it says, let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. And that word, nothing wavering, the word wavering is staggering. So don't stagger. It's the same Greek word. Don't stagger as you ask in faith the things that God wants. Be like Abraham. Don't stagger. But let him ask in faith. Don't stagger. You could put these words in here. As you think of Abraham going up the mountain, he staggered not at the promises of God. Now you, as you pray, don't stagger. Don't stagger. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. So, God wants us to exercise our faith. And in America, it is fairly hard because, I shouldn't say fairly hard, it is harder because we have just about everything we want, and if we don't have it, we have a way of figuring out how to get it. By our own strength, we just do. Most of you, I don't know if you, some of you probably listened or read to the kidnapping story of Haiti. And do you remember that bottle that was over here beside a tree that they were not supposed to touch? They were leave their hands off of it. That day it took some faith when they went over there, grabbed that bottle, and flung it into the weeds. It took faith. That was faith. That was faith in action. And a story or something that happened in our lives while we were in Bolivia. COVID came while we were there. And one of the ways, or the way that we were able to get money from the bank here at home, we weren't able to, in the year that we were there, we weren't able to provide for our family totally. So we were able to draw out money from an ATM machine and get it out of the bank here. So COVID hit, and when COVID hit, it was no traveling, period. No questions asked. And the ATM machine, there's only two of them that we knew that we could use, and they were 4 hours away. So I had just pulled, and when I pulled money, I usually pulled enough to last a little while because we never knew how long it would be before we would go again. So they had 2 weeks of no traveling. And I didn't say anything to the family. I didn't feel like stressing them out. But 2 weeks, yeah, I should have enough money. I was convinced I had enough money. But then right after these 2 weeks, there's another 2 weeks. And I'm starting to wonder, okay, am I to walk what normally takes 4 hours to get to Sucre to pull money out of the ATM machine there? And after these 2 weeks, funds were dwindling. Well, there's not a whole lot left. And then there's lockdown for, they didn't give a date when they would lift it. There is one ATM machine in town, and it has never worked. It has never worked with our card, the local town. But one day I went there, and I put that card in, and that thing gave me some money. And it has never worked. And it wasn't necessarily because of my faith, I want to say that. It was not necessarily because of my faith that that thing gave me money, but it helped my faith since then. And so we were there, this started in February, we were there to August, and at that whole time we were not able to go to that larger city where we used to get the money from. But it only gave me 500 Bs, which is about $75. And that doesn't go very fast, very far. It'd give me 500 Bs every time that I would swipe it. And some days that thing gave me 3 or 4 times. And other days it didn't give me at all. And other days it gave it to me once. But we never, ever lacked. We never, ever lacked. I had electric bills to pay. I had water bills to pay. I had food to put on the table. But we never, ever lacked. Amen. God tried my faith. It wasn't necessarily the funnest thing in the world to walk through, but it was very good for me. So faith is a noun. Again, it's an evident thing that is in a person's life. Faith is something that is evident. Hebrews 11, verse 1, it tells us, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen." What are you facing this morning that you just, it looks like it's too big? I know it's not taking Isaac up the mountain to sacrifice him, but it might look that big to you. Put your faith in Christ. Put your faith in God. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It might look like there is no way possible at all, but God has promised that He will never leave us and nor forsake us. He has promised that He will take care of us. Now, it doesn't mean that you will have the latest vehicle to drive and plenty of food in the basement or wherever you keep your food, but it means that He will provide the things that you actually need, not just all of our wants. What kept Israel out of the promised land? I mean, after all the great miracles that God did for them, it was their unbelief that kept them out of the promised land. What will keep you and I out of the promised land? And it is the same thing. I don't know how God feels when we choose to do things on our own, when He wants to so badly help us, or so badly show us His great strength. We would never say, "I'm more capable than God." None of us would say that words. But what do we say with our life? What do I say with my life? Is there anything too hard for God? And again, it is easily to share with you that there is nothing that is going to be too hard for God in your life. Nothing. But when things are here, when the trial is here, all of a sudden it looks different. May we cling to God's promise that it there's nothing too hard. May we put our faith in Him. When a person lives by faith, the world will call that man a fool. It's not to the natural eye, it will look like a fool. May God help us. And many times we find ourselves exercising the natural mind over faith because we don't want to be considered a fool. In Hebrews 11, verse 3, it tells us, through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God, and so that things which were seen, the things which are seen were not made by things which do appear. I want to challenge this a little bit as here a little later, but faith, we know, somehow we know by God's word that the worlds were created by God just speaking a word, right? We all know that. There's none of us that doubts that. We're not evolutionists. We know that God created the world by speaking it into creation. There's no doubt in our minds. There's one, and I don't know why God chose this one over any of the others, but there's one area that came to my mind as I considered a challenge for us as we think of faith. In Mark 10, verses 22 to 27. And it's something that we're all faced with because we do live in the land of America. This is right after the rich young ruler came to Jesus. And this is what Jesus said. This is what happened. And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked round about and saith unto the disciples, how hardly shall they that have riches enter the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his words. But Jesus answered again, and saith unto them, children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying about among themselves, who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. So we see here, we believe that God created the world out of God's word. We believe that God spoke the world into creation. But what do we believe about riches? Do we believe that it is going to be easier to stuff a camel through the eye of a needle than it is for a man that trusts in riches to enter God's kingdom? It's in the same book. It's the same word of God. I'm challenged by that myself. I'm not here just challenging you. I am challenged by that myself. What have you or I done because of this scripture that is evident that I have faith that this is God's, that God, this word is true? What is the evident thing that you and I have done that would cause a man to believe that this is true in our life? It challenges me. Do we believe that it is possible to stuff a camel through the eye of a needle? We know we can't. We all know it's humanly impossible. But how many of us have avoided riches because of the scripture? Is this unbelief? Do we know better than God? There's not one of us that don't have, not everyone has lots of money maybe, but there's probably not one of us that doesn't have things we don't need. And you've all helped many people, and I want to bless you for that. God bless you for all the people that you have helped. I'm not here wanting to sound like you haven't done that. But yet we believe that God has created the world with a spoken word. And yet in the same word he tells us that with riches, that it is easier for someone to stuff a camel through the eye of a needle than it is for someone who trusts in riches to go with him in glory. That staggers me. I know I just said we shouldn't stagger at God's word. Let's not just try to justify ourselves by living a radical Christian life. Let's not try to justify ourselves, but live a radical Christian life. God's word is full of warnings about riches. Can I handle riches? Can you handle riches? Do we believe that heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word is going to stand in eternity? So I want to close up here. God, a word to those that might be resisting Christ. In the same word that we read about, that God spoke the world into creation, because you were brought up in a Christian home, because you were brought up in the home, there's none of our children that doubt that. But what about eternity? What about those who are resisting to getting right with God? Do you believe that the end of your life, that there's only one place prepared for the ones who do not surrender their lives to Christ? You know, God is not impressed with how cool we can be or whatever else. I want to just challenge you to seek the Lord. If you want to be a great person, we read about Abraham being the father of faith. And he was not one that was out trying to be great, but he was great because he chose to follow the Lord. He chose to believe God. What will you and I choose? I want to, my heart for each and every one of us here today is in, I want to read it in Hebrews 10, verses 22 and 23. I want you to be able to get a hold of faith this morning. I desire that would be, that this would somehow strengthen your faith. So my prayer for every one of you is this. Verse 22 of chapter 10. Let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith. Amen. And having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that has promised. So that is my prayer for you all. God bless you.